Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. We're going to talk now with a familiar voice on these airwaves. Brian Reed is senior producer of This American Life, and he also became a titan in the podcasting world last year with his exploration of a small town in Alabama and the people trying to live in it. S-Town unfolded over 7 hours that covered life, death, clocks, mazes, and tattoos, and a lot more.
I'm out there on the back porch. If you keep your mouth shut, you'd be surprised what you can learn. Because, you know, kids around here have grown up so destitute, they don't have enough sense to be ashamed of anything. They'll just tell everything.
Reed will be in our region on November 10th when he presents Creating S-Town, a new way to tell a story, at Bard's Fisher Center in Annandale on Hudson. Brian Reed, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thanks, Ian. Thanks for having me.
I've seen Ira Glass, your boss, do a live show before, but what's your show like?
Ira, you know, obviously our shows are different. This American Life is doing many, many stories, you know, over the course of the weekly program and over the course of years. So he's drawing on different stories and using different examples and different topics and things like that. He's also danced in the past in a dance show.
That is true.
There won't be any dancing in mine, unfortunately.
No?
No, I'm sorry to say. I'm really digging into S-Town, which is one specific story told over 7 chapters. And I'd say it really covers 2 broad things, which is just the experience of making S-Town, kind of living inside of this world and this story and getting to know the people in the story over the course of years. And then also I like to talk a lot about storytelling and kind of, podcasting is a medium that's, you know, only really kind of come into the mainstream in the last half decade or so, or maybe a little more. And that's exciting because it just means there's lots of different ways to push it as a storytelling form. And that's what we were trying to do in large part with S-Town. And so I'm going to really walk through with examples like this is what we were trying to do with this storytelling move. And this is what we were trying to do differently to make it sound different than other things you've heard and talk through that experience as well.
Now, this came on the heels of Serial, which was also a This American Life production. And that, of course, was a massive hit when it came out for season 1. And if I'm not mistaken, S-Town dropped all at once, all 7 episodes, right?
That's right. Yeah, that was a difference.
How did you guys decide to do it that way?
I kind of always knew that I wanted to try that. First of all, I hadn't really heard a podcast do that, especially a podcast that's one story, you know, kind of do a Netflix model, if you will, of dropping, all of the parts at once. There were a couple other reasons why I, you know, thought it would give us a certain power in the editing to think of the story as a whole even more than they're able to do at Serial. And they obviously are thinking about their story as a whole. They're doing a lot of structuring and planning, but they are still writing those stories pretty close to air, ultimately, those episodes. And I thought it would be interesting as producers to have the power to look at the whole package and before we came out, move things from one chapter to another, you know, move a part up, get rid of a part because we dealt with it earlier, to kind of make final decisions with the whole thing as a package, kind of like a book. And I thought that would be an interesting thing to try just as a part of the creative process. And then the last reason is I just could never do what Sarah Koenig does, which is write those episodes so quickly. Like I just think it's a marvel how she does that. And I just wouldn't be able to. I think I just would fail. So there's a bunch of different reasons why, but I just thought it would feel different to the listener to be able to take them in all at once. And we also were trying to replicate the form of a book, which, you know, you don't get in pieces. You get all at once and can read at your own pace. And that's kind of what we were trying to replicate.
Well, I'm a fan of everything that you guys do, but I appreciated it for that reason, because with Serial, when they say, oh, we'll be back in 2 weeks, I'm so bummed that the next episode isn't ready yet. And with S-Town, I think I finished it in a day or two.
Yeah. I mean, it's our media consumption habits are changing just in general, you know, with TV, certainly. And, you know, podcasting is kind of a accidental term for what podcasts or for what podcasts are, that just comes out of the fact that they come out on iTunes, an Apple platform, but really it's on-demand listening, basically. It's on-demand stories, you know, in the same way that going on, you know, watching back episodes of The Sopranos or something on HBO is on demand now. So, yeah, it just felt like, okay, this is a medium that allows for this, and let's try it, you know?
So let's go back to the beginning. I'm sure something that we have in common here at WAMC with you is that we get a lot of over-the-transom email. Something made you respond to John B. when he got in touch in the first place. Take us back to that decision.
Well, first of all, the subject line of John's email was, John B. McLemore lives in town, Alabama. So the subject line certainly caught my attention. Not all of our over-the-transom emails have subject lines that you know, that are so attention-grabbing. And then, you know, the content of his email, you know, he was saying, among other things, that possibly someone had gotten away with a murder and everybody knew about it and no one had done anything. And if that happened, it seemed like something somebody should look into. You know, it seemed worth a phone call, for sure, or a couple of emails, you know? And so those two things together. Though I would say that email in general also just had a certain vibe of just like, oh, this guy seems interesting. You know, just even the way he's writing this relatively short email.
So I don't want to spoil for people who maybe haven't heard S-Town Left. There might be one or two. I won't go into detail too much. But suffice it to say, it started as a murder mystery. And then there's a pivot point, I think, in the second episode or so, where it stops being a murder mystery and a completely different type of show. What made you stick with it after that initial interest, you know, about a murder mystery had ended?
I mean, we weren't sure we were going to stick with it, you know, because something very dramatic happened in the middle of the reporting that doesn't usually happen when you're reporting. And we weren't sure, you know, what that meant for our story. But a couple things happened. I mean, first of all, I still was just interested in John B. McLemore as a person and Bibb County, Alabama, where he lived as a setting, and in particular, his view and the way he saw his county and where he lived and where he'd spent his whole life. It was still fascinating to me. I still feel like it's a place that is underrepresented in stories. It was just completely idiosyncratic and unique, but also, you know, spoke to lots of different universal themes that I thought a lot of people could relate to. But then specifically after the main event that you're referring to, you know, people I'd gotten to know through the reporting up to that point told me that there were things going on that needed looking into, basically. There were things that didn't seem right to them. There was an estate battle going on where one side was saying the other side wasn't following a person's wishes and that someone was getting screwed and I should look into that. And then there was a list of people who were supposed to be contacted in the event of someone's death and they hadn't been. You know, the list had been sent to the town hall and they hadn't been and you know, the people at the top of the list had not been contacted as the deceased desired, and the first person I talked to on that list said something shady is going on, like this is worth looking into. And so aside from just my general kind of feeling that this was a place and people worth telling a story about, there were specific things as a reporter that people in the world were suggesting I look into.
And you ended up, you know, sort of staying on the path for like 3 years where you worked on this, right?
Yeah, it wasn't 3 years from that point. But yeah, I mean, John first wrote us in late 2012. And the story came out, S-Town came out in 2017, March 2017.
So I have a question just from a practical point of view, which is when you go into a town that isn't used to getting a lot of media attention and you're trying to, you know, cover all of the people living there and record them as they are and sort of, you know, be a documentarian. How do you get people to be comfortable with having microphones around and, you know, having these conversations go on tape? How do you embed yourself the way you did?
I mean, with John knew our show. John was a regular listener to This American Life. He understood what we did. He reached out to us because he knew our show and invited us down to his county. And then it kind of was just a process of him starting to introduce me to people. And it helps when you have someone vouch for you, you know, in a community. And that's how that started. But also I would say in general, and that's a process, you know, in general I use and most people use as a reporter. You get one person who kind of gets on board and then you ask them, who else should I talk to? Can you introduce me? Can you put in a word for me? Can you vouch for me? You know, that's a very common technique. And this wasn't any different. I will say what is different is people were very open in Bibb County to this idea of just, and just even have, you know, in what they were telling me and the stories they were telling, you know, I've since been even in other small towns and had a much harder time. And it was like a rude awakening of, oh, there's something about Bibb County or the circle of people that John knew. There's something about this kind of group of people where they're really great storytellers. They like telling stories. They got immediately how to talk to in an interview where it doesn't even feel like an interview. Like there was something special there that I've not found elsewhere, quite honestly. In like I was spoiled as a reporter in Bibb County.
Are you still in touch with them? And the second part of that question, are you still reporting on them?
I'm not reporting on them, no. I am in touch with a lot of people from the story, yeah.
And how do they feel about, you know, having been part of this sort of phenomenon?
I mean, most everybody who was in the story appreciated it, you know, and lots of them liked it, you know, and the overall like feedback I got was this was fair. This captured John. This captured our place. This was fair. Maybe I wish this part was in there or that part was in there, but I appreciate what you did. You know, I think for certain people in the story, there was some attention, you know, some reporters, you know, a British reporter showing up in town and trying to talk to people, you know, in just the month after the podcast came out, which, you know, if I had my druthers would not happen. Like, that's not the kind of thing that I want to happen from the podcast. And so I think there was a kind of a rush of adrenaline that happened for some people, like in the especially in the couple months after the show. But that's since died down quite a bit. You know, things plateau, and I think largely things have gone back to normal. And then some very good things have come out of it. So, for instance, this is now the second year running of the Woodstock, Alabama Woodstock Music Festival, which they started after the kind of notoriety that came with the podcast, and they used to raise money for suicide prevention, and is run by one of John's friends and a former town clerk, Cheryl Dodson. And she's become a, you know, a statewide suicide prevention advocate. You know, they've held this really cool festival there. So there's been positive things that have come from the notoriety as well.
What did you learn from the reporting and telling a story this way that you then took back to your job as senior producer at This American Life, which is a different format, although obviously shares a lot in common with what you did?
I mean, a lot of things. I mean, I'm very interested in just trying to push the form in general. And I'm always looking for even, you know, and that sometimes that can be in small ways. It can be in the way a paragraph is written in an otherwise relatively conventional narrative radio story. So I just have an interest in keeping ourselves as creative people who've done this work for, you know, a decade or more, a lot of us, not stale in terms of just the storytelling and the craft and trying to find new ways to do storytelling, you know. So that just in general, like I try to stay alive to that when I'm, you know, a lot of my job at This American Life is as an editor. So I'm working with my amazing colleagues who are going out into the world and finding stories and getting tape and doing interviews. And then they're playing them for me. And we're trying to figure out, is this a story? What would the story be? What's the approach? And so just in all those kinds of discussions, I'm just trying to be alive to what could be different about this, what can push the form. And the other, like a more specific thing I think about is trying to find ways to put our producers and reporters into situations in the world where we're not really sure what's going to happen, where there's an interesting reason to be there. There are people who are interesting to learn about, or a place that's interesting to learn about, or a phenomenon that's interesting to learn about, but we don't really know where it's going to end up, because that's what S-Town was. And I think that can lead to some of the most exciting reporting. Like, in a way, like a lot of times, I think just due to the nature of our jobs, we end up going out on stories where we kind of know what the story is going to be. Like, we know there's going to be this opinion and that opinion, and we're going to fill those in. And I'm interested, and I find it more exciting to really go out into the world and not know what's going to happen. Like, that to me is a better reason to report a story, is to actually not know and then learn over the course of time.
And also risky. I mean, you guys have to put a show out every week.
It is risky. And luckily, we have built into our budget and the culture of our show, and this is due to Ira Glass. So, you know, this has been the case since the show was founded in the mid-90s, to kill a third to a half of the stories that we start on. So it's okay to go out into an interesting situation and, you know, you have a lot of thought about what could happen and hope for the best, and it doesn't work out. And so, like, we try and fail at a lot of things in order to get, you know, stories that are interesting and do work.
I have one more nerdy question for you. Who
Sure.
writes the Tori Malatia joke at the end of This American Life every week?
That's a collaborative effort that happens amongst all the people who are involved in that week's show, you know, Ira and then, you know, me or whoever's producing the show and whoever's got stories in the show. Usually, you know, we put the show to bed Friday evening. We have to do our first broadcast by 8, and usually it's like one of the last things that's happening. So we're in like the 5 to 8 o'clock range where we're trying to get all the final pieces of the show together and the mixing, and we're scoring, and we're probably 10 minutes too long. We have to cut 10 minutes out of the show to get down to 59 minutes. And we're like, oh, what's the back tease? That's what we call that in-house. What's the back tease? And you know, we'll start, like, we may have, like, in edits where we've heard the stories, sometimes you'll just hear a piece of tape where you'd be like, back tease, in the middle of an edit, like a week early or something. And you'll kind of have that in mind. But we're figuring out the language and shopping jokes, you know, in the last couple hours of the show. And then Ira picks one and he goes in there and records it.
I always try to guess, you know, as a radio person, I try to guess what it's going to be as I'm listening to that week's show. And I'm usually wrong.
There's sometimes some thought that's gone into it, and sometimes it is really last minute. It's like a mix, you know? So I think the exercise of guessing, you're sometimes trying to get into our heads more than we're even in our heads, in a way.
Maybe I'll start sending some suggestions.
yeah, alternate ones. Choose your own. Back tease.
Brian Reed is senior producer of This American Life and hosted S-Town, and he'll be in our region at Bard's Fisher Center in Annandale-on-Hudson on November 10th. Brian, I love all of your work, so keep up the good work.
Thanks, Ian. I really appreciate it.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.